beloved listeners, we're all being heavily taxed by the countless articles on tax from the commentariat, drumming into our heads at the moment for reform is nine. If we don't seize it, we'll burn in hell forevermore. Of course, similar things were said about the budget surplus. Depending on who is talking, we've heard that taxes are too high, too low, targeting the wrong people, that they're the only way to get us out of the hole left over from the diminishing resources boom, that raising the GST is our only hope, and that we're heading for economic disaster by even thinking of raising the damn thing. Bafflement. Well, we're all baffled. With me now on the blower is Professor Miranda Stewart. Miranda is director of the Tax and Transfer Policy Institute at ANU's Crawford School of Public Policy. She's just flown back into the country after being in highly taxed Europe. Confesses to jet lag, but nonetheless, I'm sure she's going to clear up the whole tax mess for us. Miranda, before we get into it, though, the Crawford School. Who was Crawford?
You know, there was a J.G. Crawford. He was you're testing me here. He was a senior bureaucrat who had a strong engagement in public policy in the relatively early days.
I'm sorry to trip you up, but I always ask guests for who the hell was the named chair. You failed the test.
I've completely failed the test, and I'll be prepared next time.
Okay, I'll ask you next time, and you'll be word perfect.
That's right.
Now, Miranda, apart from the fact that corporations and high earners get away with paying little tax or no tax on the grounds that they must be encouraged, what's wrong with our tax system?
Well, when you put it that way, there's not that much wrong with it when you think of the system as a whole. And that might be one of the reasons why we're in such a confusing policy debate at the moment. As you say, so many different perspectives being brought to the problem is because while lots of people can see ways to improve the system, and no doubt there are many ways we could improve the system, it's not about to collapse, in my opinion, and it's not in crisis.
I'm deeply shocked that you're not shocked. I mean, I can't cope with this. Heavens above. Well, look, let me put it another way. How does our tax system, with all its complications and complexities, that's the same thing, that's a tautology, how does our tax system compare with other countries' tax systems, with the US, for example, or with the European countries?
So comparisons are a tricky beast. If you compare at the level of the overall tax take, if you like, the share of government in the economy, we're sort of in the moderate to low end of what you might call rich countries, around about between 25% and 30% of GDP altogether. We're more like the US than we are like France or Sweden, for example. If you think about the kinds of taxes, we have a very strong reliance on a personal income tax, and that goes back more than 100 years. You'd have to say it's a very successful tax in our country. We seem to like the progressive rates and the fairness, and we have somewhat less reliance on consumption taxes, indirect taxes including the GST, than many other countries in Europe, for example.
When I say GST, do you cross yourself and, can you cope?
Look, the GST is an essential part of the tax mix, but it's a very political, highly visible tax that is not perfect and has its own weaknesses like any tax does. And so attempts saying that we might just increase the GST and that would solve all our problems is actually a very big ask. I think the public quite rightly wants to know, you're going to tax me more, what are we getting for it?
Of a sudden, Paul Keating has come out of, briefly, yet again, out of retirement, and to suggest that an increase in the GST, for which he was, as you well know, an enthusiastic advocate, would be simply giving billions of extra money to a government or to governments that are not competent to spend it.
Well, see, there you end up in a debate that's not just about tax anymore. It's about what we spend it on. That's exactly the point. And this one of the big issues in this ongoing debate has been, are we taxed too much or too little? Are we spending too much or too little? And I think we haven't yet resolved that question. And so it makes tax reform very difficult. Are you increasing it or decreasing it for a start?
Well, the states all seem to be on the same page. They want more GST and more of the GST that is raised.
Well, the state's role in our fiscal federalist structure, I guess, is to spend money. I mean, you know, and they regulate as well, but really they are the core spending agencies of our government. The federal government does spend a lot of money, but about a third of that is just cash in, cash out, the transfers, what you might think of as the social security or welfare system. But the state governments actually spend money on health, education, crime, justice, roads, et cetera, et cetera. And so what they see is the big pressure on the spending side. And not surprisingly, they would like a reasonably effective tax, which the GST is, to give them more revenue under their control to deal with that spending.
I oppose an increase to 15% for the simple reason that I can just work out 10% when I'm toting things up, and I've got no hope with 15. Why is 15 the magic number? Why could we not split the difference?
Well, in fact, I personally, and not that my view is more merit than anybody else's, I would be in favour of 12.5 myself. There is room to increase it in the sense of in our overall tax mix, we've actually gone backwards in the extent to which we tax consumption, including using customs, excise, other indirect taxes, tobacco taxes, as well as the GST. We tax consumption less than we did 20 years ago. And so, or, you know, less than we did. We introduced the GST and that brought us back up to a level, and that has fallen off again. So there's an argument for increasing taxing consumption, and we might as well use the GST to do that.
As you know, I'm a fiscal dimwit, but it does seem to me that companies or high earners will be forced to pay additional tax that they can't just fudge the books.
Look, high individual income earners, you have to be a little careful. So wage earners are paying pretty high fraction of tax at the high end, high wage earners that are just, you know, doing well in the wage system. Those who have businesses or capital investment tend to be able to cap their rate overall at sort of around about 30%. But they actually pay quite a lot of tax, individuals, as long as we catch them and don't allow them to shelter income offshore. We could have high individual income earners pay a bit more income tax by closing off some of those very attractive low tax havens in our own system, and that's the super tax regime and things like negative gearing, which high income earners benefit the most from.
I remember 20 years ago we did a lot of programs on the Tobin tax, so-called, the idea of micro taxes on this enormous amount of international money movement. Is that ever discussed?
It is, and this idea of so Piketty's work and Zucman in the US, this recent work is new attention to wealth and financial transactions taxes. It kind of builds on the Tobin tax model. None of it has actually been enacted anywhere yet. In Europe, there's about 11 countries that had in principle agreed to enact a financial transactions tax, but they haven't yet gone ahead. So it does raise a lot of challenges politically across borders because, of course, any jurisdiction could just try to opt out.
I think it's absolutely outrageous to suggest that multinationals like Google or Apple pay tax, and you know, I'm totally opposed to the suggestions of Shorten and Bowen that cracking down on these companies is better than increasing GST, he said, with a heavy attempt.
Are you really?
With a heavy attempt at irony.
I see. Well, you know, there is a viable economic position out there that would agree with you, you know, so you have to be careful with the ironic.
Okay, well, I withdraw the irony and put it to you. What are the pros and cons of that argument that Shorten and Bowen are raising, that cracking down on big business is better than increasing GST?
Look, I would be in favour of more focused and careful attention to enforcement of on tax on multinationals, and also reforming some of that corporate tax, those rules about profit shifting. There are things we can do there. There are global coordinated processes that are slowly moving on, and Australia can do some things unilaterally. The issue with that for me is that there is some revenue there. There might even be a few billion of revenue there. It's very hard to know. But it's not enough. So I agree with them that we need to crack down on multinationals to some degree, but it's not going to solve our ongoing issue of how we fund government. We
really Miranda, are some countries holding the big companies to account?
Oh, look, very few. I mean, Google, Starbucks, et cetera, pay very little tax around the globe. They are US companies originally, those big multinationals, most of them, and so they do pay some corporate tax in the US market. You know, they're located in the US market. It's a big market. They sell a lot of iPhones there and a lot of advertising. They do pay some US corporate tax. But elsewhere in the world, they have an extremely low effective tax rate, you know, below 5%, maybe 1% or 2%. So no country is successfully taxing them.
I'm talking to Professor Miranda Stewart, Director of Tax and Transfer Policy Institute at the ANU's Crawford, whoever he was, School of Public Policy. The other night, I was talking to an investigative reporter from Bloomberg's who was giving this remarkable account of how vast numbers, trillions of dollars, are currently being taken out of tax havens all over the world and placed in a panic on the American mainland, that now Reno, Nevada, for example, and South Dakota, are major centres of, you know, money that had been hidden. And the reason the plutocrats are bringing their money onshore is because there's a deadline before the government starts hammering them. Have you been watching this extraordinary development, Reno, Nevada, for God's sake, becoming a tax haven?
No, look, that's actually news to me, but there is a precedent. The US has had quite concessional rules in its international tax system for decades that have a very low tax or even an exemption on interest earned where you have foreign monies coming onshore into accounts. I forget the details, but they did that as deliberate policy in order to attract foreign capital from Latin America, and they succeeded. So essentially the US established itself as a tax haven for foreign capital of some sorts decades ago. And so what you're telling me sounds consistent with that, that those provisions are being used and regulatory financial centres are being set up in perhaps rather surprising places in the US. Taking advantage.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across.
No, that's correct.
People are now asking questions, some members of the commentariat. What's the purpose of a Turnbull government if he backs off issue after issue because of political danger? He's already now being lambasted and raspberried because he's publicly walking back from a GST increase. What would be the repercussions of no reform?
Well, he's got an election this year, and you're much more experienced at political commentary and observation than I am, but my sense is that if he hands down a budget that is moderately popular, unlike the previous two budgets that we've seen, that's where his primary political focus, I would have thought, would lie, and that will lead him into an election.
He could, of course, do some minor fiddling, couldn't he? He could peel back on superannuation tax benefits for the wealthy, on negative gearing concessions. Might that be at least mildly efficacious?
He could. I mean, this sort of backing off from the GST, as I said, the GST is a very difficult tax politically, and it's not surprising to me, you know, that he would do that. He still has within his, you know, control, if you like. He has the personal income tax, really. And if he's interested in lowering marginal tax rates for some workers, that might be popular. He can potentially fund that by broadening the base. And he can broaden the base by reducing super concessions, reducing negative gearing, perhaps coming up with some proposals about work deductions, although that can be pretty politically controversial too. So it would be will be interesting to see if he does come up with some things there, which would not be a bad reform to do some fixing of the personal income tax.
Miranda, thanks for your time. Professor Miranda Stewart, Director of Director of the Tax and Transfer Policy Institute at the ANU, and this is LNL on RN. And next up, we're going to talk about China's New Year, and you will hear a very beautiful poem written by that wonderful, wonderful writer, Mao Zedong.